You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iOS, Windows, Android, Kindle, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the Journey!
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
And we are here to talk to you about a very special episode that is very close to our hearts. Because
it
involves two of our favorite people in command. It involves one of our favorite relationships, and also one of our favorite primates.
That's right.
And what is that, Char?
That episode is Resolutions, and I am fully expecting your story to basically be all about the monkey. Seriously, I think if that's not in your rewrite, you're doing it wrong.
Well, I sat down in front of my typewriter, and everything that came out was simian-related, and I was just like, you know what? I can't do this. The fans won't accept it. It's too advanced of television for the audience. And, you know, I feel exactly like Ron Moore felt when he was trying to create the arc in DS9. It was just too advanced for the time, and so they had to do it by baby steps. And so maybe one day, we'll be able to accept a complete ape episode of Star Trek.
You know, no work of genius is appreciated in its time, Tristan.
It's true. I'll be dead and gone before this is appreciated.
Right. So somebody, maybe your grandkids, if and when you have them, they're going to uncover this big stack of papers and it's going to be all about the monkey. And they'll publish it and it'll just explode and blow everybody's minds.
You know what? I'm hoping there'll be a renaissance of resolution.
Yes. But since you didn't go that route this time, not yet, I am curious to know what you have for your story. And... you know, I had this idea a couple of weeks ago to do the Resolutions rewrite, and I hope people don't think that I am cheating, because not only did I do a bit of Resolutions, but I also tied in the basic story as well. So if you want to hate on me for that, trek.fm/forums, and let's discuss it there, okay? Moving on.
That's true. That is what the forums are for. I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot of things that people don't like. I'm sure that you and I don't even need to hear what either of us have to say, but I know that we're going to run with the relationship full force. And I know there's going to be so many people who are going to be like, you know what, Tristan and Char, they didn't do it for this reason, or the producers didn't do it for this reason, or, you know, like Catherine didn't want to do, like, you know, like Kate Mulgrew didn't want to do it for this reason, or, you know, whatever. You know, like, I'm sure people are going to say that. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Exactly.
Deal with it. And actually, I don't know, what I've come up with might surprise you. We'll see.
Well, I think it will. I mean, like, I'm pretty stoked because, you know, when, you know, you and I have talked about this episode a lot, and not just because of the monkey, but because it's it's a good episode. And I know that I like the B plot a little bit more than you do. Not by much.
Yeah.
Overall, this is a great story. It's about, like, love and loss and about moving on and not being able to move on, and has some baddies at the end, you know, and it's good.
Come on, this is why Harlequin paperbacks get sold. It's this romantic idea. Oh, you're alone on a planet, a man and a woman. Well, what do you think is going to happen?
You know, so much fanfic has been developed from this one episode. And you know what? This is the one time that I'm going to say, yes, there should be fanfiction when it comes to Star Trek. Because Jerry Taylor created this moment so that it could be used later on and referenced back to, and they didn't really do that, and she was disappointed. And if Jerry Taylor is disappointed, we should be disappointed.
And I think countless thousands of people are. How many people were just head over heels in love with this idea? And this was Jerry Taylor's nod to all those people who were campaigning for it even before this episode aired. This was
Absolutely.
Kind of her little love letter to them. And we don't need to go through the story on how things happened and didn't happen and all that, but it is a dirty old shame, but that's why we have fanfic, to make our dreams come true.
And right now you're having a TTJ fan fiction session.
That's what this is, isn't it?
With your host, Tristan and Char.
Should we get this on the road?
I'm thinking we should. So, Char, I have been waiting 2 weeks. That's right, 2 weeks
that's
to hear
right.
this from you because
yep.
we had a holiday missage in between. And now that the Prixen season is over, we can continue with our regular broadcast schedule. Char, give it to me right now. Tell me, what have you come up with?
Okay. This is going to be kind of hard to explain. Normally, we do a rundown where we explain what we liked, what we didn't like, and then how we would change things. But I really made things confusing for everybody by putting in very subtle changes to scenes that did exist. So I'm not going to really be able to go through it in that format, unfortunately, and I've got to break it down chronologically. So hang in with me. Okay, so everything starts off just as we know it. They've contracted the virus. The doctor has no luck finding a cure. New scene. Janeway contemplates with Chakotay if she should send Voyager on its way or keep the ship here in hopes that the doctor will eventually find a cure. But she feels guilty about keeping the ship there for 17 days already. I mean, they need to be going home. That's a lot of time. But then she also feels guilt about the prospect of sending Voyager on its way home without her, because she promised her crew that she would get them home, and now she can't. So Chakotay helps her form the compromise. They'll stay on the planet, and she'll continue to research for the cure, but Voyager will go off and resume its course for the Alpha Quadrant, and she agrees because there's really not any other better choice. So there's nothing that's going to get done if Voyager doesn't leave, but maybe there's a chance that things will change if they do leave and head back to the Alpha Quadrant. And meanwhile, if she does find a cure, they could always chase him down and rejoin him at some point. So, cut to a few days later, they're all set up with the shelter and research equipment, all that, and Tuvok is ready to depart. He's in command. The crew's taking the news hard, especially Harry, just like he is in the episode, but this is a new scene. He's talking with B'Elanna in the mess hall about kind of like how he's mourning for Janeway. He's not being so pouty about it this time, though. It's more kind of like when people reflect after a memorial service or something. I mean, he's talking about her as if she had died. Because he'll always have a place in her heart. He was the first captain that he served under. And, you know, quite honestly, she was a role model to him as a fresh grad out of Starfleet. And so he's really going to miss her. And B'Elanna can totally sympathize because Chakotay had a very similar role for her. Mm. He's the one who recruited her into the Maquis. And he believed in her when a lot of people didn't believe in her at all, including herself. So she often went to him for strength and guidance, just as Harry did for Janeway. They have this very nice character development moment, and it's, not emo Harry. It's just, sad Harry's at a loss, and we understand why. So we have the farewell speeches. Janeway does hers, and Chakotay does one too, because that always pissed me off. It bothered me that he didn't get to say goodbye. Then off they go. Voyager's done. A lot of things from this point for a little while are more or less the same, like the bathtub scene. We've got to have that, right? Because that's when we discover the monkey. The only difference is that she doesn't act like a scared little girl when she's startled, because Janeway is too badass for that. But anyway, so they have that conversation about accepting their fate, blah, 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 just after that scene. Also, when Chakotay confronts Janeway about the personal touches he's adding to the shelter and how that makes her uncomfortable and she can't let go yet, yada, yada, yada. We have all that still because that kind of shows where their mentality is at. We have to know this. She's enjoying life here, but she can't give up. Off she goes to check the insect traps. Chakotay returns to the headboards. Now, instead of a plasma storm destroying Janeway's research equipment, here's the real twist that I start to throw in, okay? This is where Basics starts coming in as well. A Kazon vessel intercepts Voyager, and it's Kola and his gang, and he sees that Tuvok's in command, and of course he's going to ask, where's Janeway? Why are you in command? I've never seen you in that chair. And he's a Vulcan. He can't lie. So he doesn't disclose anything, but it becomes very apparent to a very pregnant Seska that Chakotay and Janeway are no longer on the ship for some reason. So they decide that they're going to start tracking them down wherever Voyager has been to find them, because if they are together, they're going to have Starfleet technology on them, and the two of them are going to be no match for a gang of Kazon, and they're going to get their hands on some technology and kill them. So we're going to cut back to Janeway and Chakotay. They've been planetside for about 2 months at this point. We find that out. Janeway's starting her garden patch, the Talaxian tomatoes, just as we saw. And this bewilders Chakotay, because he never imagined that she'd have an interest in gardening. And she admits that before their time on New Earth, there's no way in hell she would play in the dirt. But now it's actually fascinating watching this happen. And we see that she's changed a little bit in her mentality. She's enjoying the pace of life that's here and adapting to it. And they have this kind of cute little moment. Chakotay's willing to cook if she's willing to grow, and it's a deal. So then he brings up the thing of having a nice little project in the house. Come see it, blah, blah, blah. So as they enter the shelter, there's this unknown person lurking around in the tree debris that they were throwing out in the episode. And we eventually can see that it is a Kazon watching them. And he approaches closer, clearly preparing for a strike. We cut. Potentially, this is the end of part one.
Jeez, okay.
Because this is, we're going into, I'm just going to give it away, we're going to get into a three-parter.
A three-part episode?
Yeah, we're going to go from resolutions to the basics slot to basics two and wrap it all up in a big, huge arc.
Okay.
Just because. Next thing that happens, we learn that Voyager has found out Kola's plan to find Janeway and Chakotay, so Voyager is turning back around to try and protect them, because they can't lose them like that. Other Kazon ships, they have seen Voyager heading the opposite direction of their usual direction, and this gives Seska a different idea. She's now a new mother, and they could potentially get much more than just Janeway and Chakotay. So this is where they're starting to think, oh, we could take the ship. They kind of do the same thing as Basics 1 does, where little small attacks ever so slowly peck them like ducks. And they know that something's up, but they don't know what or why. And we get the whole thing with Tierna. He blows himself up, blah, blah, blah. Tierna warns Tuvok that instead of Seska being dead, his little argument there, he says, Janeway and Chakotay are dead and you better get out of here. Well, of course, Tuvok suspects a ruse, and he orders Paris to stay on course because they're almost in communication range anyway. Why not follow through? Ultimately, they get into a fight with three Kazon ships, just like Basics 1, and Voyager hails the Talaxians for help, but it's too late. They're overpowered. They're cornered. The self-destruct is offline because of the backup processors being out. Tom flies away in the shuttle, just like he does, to try and get the Talaxians. And he's also going to go after Janeway Chakotay to make sure that they're safe and alive. So that happens. Just like in the episode, the crew, they get boarded and are dropped off on a barren planet. But it's the fourth in New Earth's planetary system, just for the record. Just so you know. End of part two, potentially. Paris arrives at New Earth, only to see an abandoned shelter and clear signs of struggle in a fight, and he cries out, no! Thinking that they were dead because it looks like they're gone. So he starts searching frantically for clues as to what happens when this small rock gets thrown at him. He's like, what? And so he kind of ducks, pulls out his phaser, gets ready, and another stone comes flying through, and guess who's throwing it? Guess who's throwing it, Tristan?
It's got to be the monkey.
Of course it is. Thank you. Yes, the monkey gets something good to do. So Paris proves to the monkey that he's friendly and he means well. He's not going to hurt him. And they start to make friends. And he starts talking to the monkey a little bit, kind of like Janeway did. Like, did you throw these two? He notices some other stones thrown off in the corner. And, you know, he's looking around. He's investigating, what happened here? What happened to my non-furry friends? Can you tell me? And then that reminds him, oh, shoot, I need to talk to the Talaxians. So he contacts them, letting them know what's happened. And they're reluctant to help because at this point the Kazon have more power, but they are underway. Meanwhile, back on Voyager, Doctor starts planning the mutiny, just like he starts with Basics 2. And he confirms that Chakotay is not the father of Seska's baby. That's the same. He's unaware of Janeway and Chakotay's status. So he's contacting Dinara Pell, in hopes that she can provide the serum for curing their virus, because he's on a ship full of Kazon now. He doesn't have to worry about the Vidians taking organs from the humans. So she can, and they agree to... Well, they don't necessarily agree to rendezvous. She says that they're on their way, and the Kazon don't know this. We find out what's happened with Janeway Chakotay. They are both brutally beaten, and they've been dropped off on the fourth planet, along with the rest of the crew. And we find out Seska has offered to let Chakotay stay with her and raise their child. He refuses. And so in response, they are dead to Seska. She basically spits in his face, says the only reason why they weren't killed was because of her. She insisted to Kola that letting them live the rest of their lives on this barren, hostile planet was way worse than just letting them die. And Chakotay tells her about the virus, saying, we're going to die soon anyway because of this thing that's going to kill us if we're not on that other planet. And she says, well, serves you right to die in front of your crew. And she turns away, satisfied with their fate. The end of that. The crew is glad to see Janeway and Chakotay, but the reunion is not happy because they know that in about 24 hours, symptoms of the virus are going to set in. They know that they're going to have maybe a few days at most before the virus kills them. Cut to Tom. He learns from the Talaxians that Janeway and Chakotay are alive along with the rest of the crew and that the Kazon have taken Voyager. This gives Tom hope. He says he's going to come up with his plan in 1 hour, just like he does in part two. He'll come up with a plan, right? Of course he can. He manages to secretly contact the Doctor. They bring each other up to speed, and they began staging a plan to retake Voyager. So on the planet, the crew is struggling to survive. They're finding few edible food sources. Water is scarce. Chakotay can't even start a fire by rubbing two sticks together. You know, they overcome that obstacle because of Janeway's hair, but the situation's dire. You know, they're in deep you-know-what. Besides basic survival, the virus's symptoms are getting worse on Janeway and Chakotay, and we see them essentially looking like they have a really bad case of the flu at this point. But they're only going to feel worse. So there's a scene with them late into the night as everybody sleeps by the fire. Neither of them can sleep after all that they've been through. Janeway is coated in a cold sweat. She's shivering from the chills. So she lets Chakotay get a little snug but comfy next to him. Janeway says to him, just in kind of a very tender moment, she never anticipated their end being quite like this. She always thought that if she didn't die in fierce combat aboard Voyager, she would die a very old woman on Earth. And then Chakotay, kind of with that brutal honesty, just deflects it right back to her. And he admits that he thought that he and Janeway were going to grow old together on New Earth. She says, well, what I wouldn't give to get back there right now. Basically admitting that that wouldn't be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have gotten to know each other the way they did. And they talk about this for a little bit, like how the extent of Janeway's caffeine addiction, the fact that Chakotay snores, you know, little details. Janeway is clearly tired after this conversation and drifts into a much needed sleep. Chakotay gently presses his forehead to hers and whispers, I love you, to Janeway, because we're going to be direct about this. We are not going to have some stupid ancient legend, okay? He's a grown man. He's going to express what he wants directly instead of weird stories that, oh, come on, no. Teenagers do this when they're learning how to date. Anyway. So he whispers, I love you. And the impact of saying those words aloud isn't lost on him. I mean, he's like, wow, I really said that aloud. But we don't know if she heard. We don't know. So he closes his eyes, tries to sleep. We end that scene. Back on Voyager, Kola and Seska are startled to see the Vidian convoy pursuing them. Normally, the Vidians leave the Kazon alone because the Kazon organs just don't last as long as other transplants because they're Kazon.
Now, even their organs are slow.
Well, you know, I made this up figuring these two are in the same space, and why aren't they constantly fighting each other, and why aren't the Kazon obliterated by the Vidians? Mm. It's because they've got bad stock. That's what I came up with.
No, I like that. I like that.
Thank you. So the Vidians, however, are just as surprised that Voyager has been overtaken by the Kazon. Remember, they didn't know that. So their plan for a major harvest of organs is now thwarted, and they kind of feel misled by Dinara, who kind of got them on this journey. And so they're just about to beat her up when she deflects that back and saying, but you know what, guys, there's so many hundreds of Kazon on this ship. What we lack in the quality, we'll get in quantity. And they decide, okay, that will be worth it. Let's go get them. And as the Vidians board the ship, she splits for sickbay. at the soonest opportunity she can. She gives Doctor the serum for Janeway Chakotay. They have a brief but touching reunion, and then off she goes. The Vidians make it to the bridge, where Culla and Seska are, and they put up a nice epic fight. Seska's killed first, and so Culla goes after her, kind of in his mourning thing like he does in Basics 2. And then, of course, he is shot in the back, because that's a cheap way to make him die, and I like it. So, just as the Vidians are finishing up with the Kazon, Tom Paris and what looks like an armada of Talaxian ships close in on Voyager, and Paris orders the Vidians to abandon Voyager. If they leave quietly, the Talaxian fleet will not attack, and the Vidians do leave, thinking they are massively outnumbered. But we find out, the Doctor reveals a little trick they had up their sleeve. Remember the holographic ships?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that made a small fleet of Talaxian ships look like an entire armada. So that's how they got out of that. And then as morning breaks on the barren planet, the Voyager crew is ecstatic because they see the ship approach, and we conclude with Janeway and Chakotay being treated for their injuries. They're fit for duty. It's congratulations all around. Janeway says with renewed vigor, let's go home, set a course for the Alpha Quadrant, and they sit in their chairs, look forward at the view screen, and we fade to black.
Well, that was much more epic than I thought it was going to be.
Well, thank you. I was hoping it would be epic.
Yeah, no, I didn't expect any of that from you. Like, I basically what I'm going to say is what I expected from you.
Okay. Let's make this comparison.
Yeah, like I honestly thought that you were going to focus more on the relationship on the two of them and then completely ignore the B plot. But I find it interesting that you found a way to combine it with Basics 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So you essentially made it a three-parter like it's an Enterprise episode.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It never would have actually happened on Voyager, and that's why it popped into my mind, probably.
Well, I think that's cool. I think it's nice to explore things that would never actually happen on the series, and that's why we're talking about it, is not because of the plausibility of it actually happening in 1996 or you know, in Star Trek. It's just pretty much like, it's a fan rewrite. It's what we think would be cool,
it's
essentially.
What we do.
Well, mine is much more general than yours.
Okay, well, that's good. I hogged up so much time telling you this, but now please take over and tell us what you've got.
Yeah, mine is much broader strokes. One of my favorite movies of all time is Children of Men by Alfonso Cuarón, and I know I'm pronouncing his name wrong. And it stars Clive Owen. And one thing that is really great about that movie, among many, is that it's all from Clive Owen's perspective.
Okay.
It's all from his POV. Everything that he knows is what the audience knows. Nothing more and nothing less. And it's a beautiful piece of filmmaking. And I was watching it the other day and I was like, you know what? This would be really great for a Star Trek episode. Now, I'm going to contradict what I said earlier about how it doesn't matter if we see it in 96 or in Star Trek. What I first proposed would be too much for television.
Okay.
About like Steadicam shots and long running POV shots and things like that. But what I did take from it was one thing that I really wanted to do was completely disregard the B plot.
Okay.
Of resolutions.
All right.
Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Actually, I think that the B plot happens exactly how it does in my episode, but we just don't see it. We don't hear it, and we don't see it.
Well, that instantly makes this better.
Yeah, and with my episode, we start off exactly how we started off with the on-air version, with Janeway and Chakotay waking up in their stasis tubes going, well, crap. And so with my episode, it focuses much more on the length of time.
Okay.
That they're there. I mean, according to the script, they're there for 3 months. They don't really give us that information through the episode very well. It feels like we're there for what, a week?
Yeah, well, she says day 24 at some point in the show. So you think, okay, they've been there for almost a month and then a little more time, maybe 6 weeks. That's what I thought until I read that.
Yeah, see, but the thing is, even when she said, okay, we've been here for 24 days, you know, it still felt like a week. And with mine, we start off with the stasis tubes, and all that we gather like no communication from Tuvok, no communication from Voyager. They're on their own and they know it. They're like, okay, we have no more connection with Voyager. And throughout the episode, we find out why through Janeway and Chakotay's conversations.
Okay.
It's never spelled out in exposition. It's never just like they don't look at the audience and go, okay, here's what you missed. It's we have to pay attention and figure out, like, okay, why are Janeway and Chakotay on the planet? Why are they building a new life for themselves? And even, like, you know what? Maybe they're not in stasis tubes, but we just see them there with a bunch of equipment. And they're like, okay, why are they doing this? Why are they building a life? And then do they just... First, we're like, are they in love and they just wanted to start a new life? Well, no, because she's the captain.
They just ran off. Bye, Voyager.
Exactly. Like, the answer would be immediately no, because she's the captain. She would never abandon her crew.
That's right.
And then it would be like, okay, well, is it some sort of diplomatic thing? Did an alien strand them there? You know, like, what's going on? And then you slowly find out that it's because of a disease. I really like the disease angle. She sets up her scientific equipment, her research equipment, and she tries really hard. They build the shelter very quickly. And I'm not used to a 5X structure, so I'm just going to go by a 3X structure.
Okay.
So in Act 1, we see at the beginning of their new life here on New Earth, and they meet the monkey, and the monkey is far more domesticated in my version, where it hangs out in the house and, you know, it, like, jumps on her shoulder. She hands him, like, little pieces of fruit, and he comes and goes as he pleases. Like, they don't have a collar on him. Like, he doesn't sleep there. He just, like, hangs out every once in a while. He's like an uncle that visits all the time.
Okay, this is cute. I love it.
Yeah. See, yeah. And so she continues. But in Act 1, her scientific equipment is destroyed quickly.
Okay.
Like, it's not like, oh, well, you know, this is the only way to let go at the end of the episode. This is very early on. And the thing is that the Voyager crew did not do enough research. And the storms are just as bad as they were in the episode, if not worse. And it destroys their shelter. As in, destroys their shelter.
Oh.
Completely gone. And Janeway and Chakotay have to run out to, like, a cave or something. And so they're like, well, crap, we don't have our scientific equipment. We don't have our replicator. We don't have any of this. What are we going to do? And they tried to make a structure again, you know, out of what was left over, and the storm took it away again. So they're like, okay, maybe that might be a little redundant, but they, like, through the course of that, they find out that the material that they have, their man-made material,
yeah,
cannot withstand the storms. But for some reason, none of the trees get split. None of the trees get uprooted out of the ground. And so they're like, okay, we're going to build our own house. And Chakotay builds a log cabin from scratch. Like, not an addition like in the episode, straight from scratch.
Awesome.
And so they start this new life completely devoid of 24th century. All that they have is their communicators. That's it. They don't have their phasers. They don't have their tricorders. They don't have anything. And so we feel the length of time, whether it's Janeway's hair growing longer or whether it's their clothes or, I don't know, we get the passage of time, that this is a long time, whether it's 3 months or even longer. I'm fine with even longer. I really am.
Okay.
And we see them toil in Act 2, where, like, Act 1 is about 24th century technology trying to find the cure, and then it really is, it's gone. And then Act 2 is toiling and trying to develop a new life and the struggles that they go through, and Janeway and Chakotay fighting, but then realizing that it's okay because they have each other, and
it's all they have.
Yeah, that's all that they have, and that's all that they need, and that's what they discover towards the end of Act 2.
Aww.
And then in Act 3, we see a very domesticated house. Very domesticated.
Okay.
Where it's, we see two beds, two dose.
Really? Aw.
Yes, two beds. I'm getting there.
Okay.
we see two beds, a bathtub, a freaking huge bathtub. We see a canoe. Actually, that's how Act 3 starts, is where Janeway and Chakotay look very different, and they're both in a boat that Chakotay built, and Janeway is just absolutely loving it. She's soaking up the sun. Chakotay's fishing or something. And even though he's had to stop being a vegetarian.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
He selectively ignored that just like he did on the show.
Exactly. And so they're just enjoying life, and then they get back from the boat. They go to their house, and we see the house. Like I said before, it's very domesticated. And they found a way to get running water through irrigation. They have a garden out back, a very successful vegetable garden. So we see, they're like, oh, wow, a lot of time has passed. And these two very intelligent people have made a life for themselves in the wilderness, regardless of 21st century technology. And something happens where I wanted to make this about the monkey, where like another bad storm happens and then somebody goes out to find the monkey. And I'm like, okay, no, that's not going to happen.
The monkey could take care of himself. That's why.
Exactly. So like, I think what happens is that Chakotay goes out on a supply run. Like he tries to find new things and bring them back to the house. And Janeway is toiling away, you know, trying to maintain everything that they've built. And it's a storm happens. And Janeway is freaking out because Chakotay is out in the middle of it. And they've seen these storms before. But we really do see Janeway just lose it. Okay. And she's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do without him? What am I going to do by myself? All I have is this monkey and a running faucet, and that's it. And that's not enough for a 21st century woman. And so she goes all Rambo. She like, she gets all of supplies. She packs her backpack. She puts it on. And she's like, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go save him. And she opens up the door, and there's Chakotay standing there, completely drenched. And he looks like he's been through hell. You know, his shirt's ripped. He like totally like just, you know.
Kirk style?
Yeah, Kirk style rip and romance novel, you know, cover. And
love it.
he's just like heaving because he's been through hell and back. And then Janeway's like, where have you been? Are you okay? And he walks in, doesn't say a word, gets right up to her face, and then blows out all the candles that are going. And then the next morning, we know exactly what happened. She looks like Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind and the next morning. And Chakotay took her in a manly fashion.
Totally.
And Janeway lit him because she's the captain. She makes all the decisions. And
right.
They finally gave in. And that whole sexual tension and getting to know each other from Act 2 and then the beginning of Act 3 is all about like, oh, we shouldn't, but we're here, you know, and we see the two beds. And so this happens. And they're like, and then right in the next morning, it's clear what happened. There's no doubt about it. We know exactly what happens from the whole TV blankets up to the chest thing, you know, that they
yes.
do.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Exactly. That is what we see. And so we know what's happened. And then they start talking about their new life on this place. They're like, well, we've made a new life for ourselves already. But Chakotay's like, no, it's going to be even better because now we finally let go and we have each other. And we can not only start a new life together as friends, but as lovers and as a family. And then Janeway makes the mention, you know what? I never thought that I would be able to have children.
Hmm.
And that is exactly when you hear the chirp from the communicator.
Oh, you're so mean.
And it's Tuvok's voice like, Captain, you know, we've come back. We have the cure from the Vidians. It was an epic battle. You should have seen it. And I wish you were there. And they're like, we're going to be back in 5 days. And then they don't have anything. They don't even have their old uniforms anymore. And they tell the monkey goodbye, but it's a much more heartfelt goodbye because it was a companion. Chakotay's like, can't we bring him with us?
And yeah, seriously.
They beam him up. And then we have the exact same, almost the exact same ending where they're taking a turbo lift ride by themselves, just the two of them, up to the bridge. And you don't hear anything. No words are spoken. They don't look at each other. And then the turbo lift doors open. Janeway exits the turbo lift, turns around, looks at him, doesn't say anything else, continues not to say anything, looks at him for just a moment, and then walks to a chair, and they both sit down, and they have the exact same dialogue that ended the original episode.
Oh,
and
that's even
that
worse than what we saw, man. That just, oh, cut that tension with a knife.
Yes. And so that is my episode. And I know it's schmaltzy. I know it's romance novel. I know this, but it's what I want. And in my head, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And no one can argue that.
Well, you could go on the Trek BBS and somebody has probably got a thread going right now about this. But, I mean, yeah, like, if you're going to go for it, go for it.
Yeah. And so that is the direction that I took. So I'm really happy that you went the gung-ho epic battle and intrigue and deceit spitting in the face. And I'm happy that I went with the romance novel Fabio cover version.
Right. Fabio with Chakotay's face.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's my episode, and that's your episode. And I would love to hear what the fans would have liked to have seen. Like, we'd love to hear your rewrite of this episode on trek.fm/forums. That's what they're there for. We want to interact with you guys. We want to hear what you have to say. And also write us, too. Like, we haven't gotten show ideas in a while from you guys, and we'd love to get some where, like, what do you want us to talk about? Go to trek.fm/contact and select To the Journey from the drop-down menu. And also, you can talk to us on Twitter and say, hey, Tristan at the Insane Robin, or hey, Char at Oh the Profanity, we would like you to talk about this. Let us know.
Yeah, we'll entertain anything. It doesn't mean we'll do it, but we'll consider it.
Exactly. Doesn't mean we're going to do it, because in the past we have gotten a lot of requests. And we're like, maybe, you know.
Yeah. Well, and this is not the only thing that we've been discussing on Trek FM either. I mean, we've got so many shows on the network now. It's crazy. Let's have a little glimpse at what else has been happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
The unmade Starfleet Academy movie.
You know, even on paper. Okay, do we want to do the script which was written by the guy who wrote Star Trek V, or do we want to do the script which was written by the guy who wrote Star Trek II?
Earl Grey.
The ships of TNG.
Oh, no, it's one ship that splits into three parts, just like the D is one ship that splits into two parts. It's not a Voltron. It's one ship.
An owl formed a saucer.
The orb.
Dr. Bashir, I presume commentary.
I know that. It's just a hostile look on Sisko's face the whole time. He's just looking at Zimmerman like, all right, you're a piece of work, aren't you?
Exactly.
To the journey!
Sisko.
And obviously, Seska couldn't let go,
No. And
she proved that by having his child against his will.
Yeah. Now, here is the Maury Show twist of the future. He does not impregnate her. She impregnates herself with his DNA, or so she thought. But he is not the father.
The Ready Room.
Thank you.
But it's also really gloomy, and I never want to go back there. I don't want to, like, re-experience that. Like, just the visual candy of being able to go outside and talk to the Vorta, and, wow, I maybe didn't phrase that properly. I meant the change in color and lighting.
Oh.
I did not mean, but she's a very
I thought you were
Vorta.
Talking about Kimana.
She is fetching. No? She's a fetching lass.
Warp 5.
Zindi Evolution.
Well, I think maybe Okampa and Insectoid are two races that could have a life together. You know, you've got the 9-year lifespan of the Okampa. You've got the 12-year lifespan of an Insectoid. If they meet at the right time, it could be a beautiful love story.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
Iris Stephen Bear's Star Trek.
And it's the first time I heard him say something that he said several times over the years is, you know, one day when we're not the middle child, we're not the stepchild, people are going to go, holy crap, look at DS9.
Literary Treks.
Slings and Arrows, A Sea of Troubles.
You see in this book, too, that Picard is facing this melancholy because they've been worried about the Borg, and now the Dominion is on the horizon, and there's these two things, and obviously this is before First Contact, so that hasn't happened yet. And Picard seems to be kind of weighed down in this story in some ways.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of this stuff. Go to either trek.fm/PD for the podcast directory, or find us basically on any platform. We won't list them out this week, but if you look us up, you'll find us. Let's just put it that way. Now, we have to talk a little bit about our sponsor, audible.com. So Tristan, why don't you tell us about that?
Our sponsor for this show is audible.com. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To The Journey and Trek.fm. Everyone listening, we love that you listen, and the beauty of it is that we want more people to listen. So please, if you could take the time, if you haven't already, if you could go to our iTunes page, the more reviews we get, the more listeners will see us, the more fan interaction, the more shows we can do, the better shows that we're gonna be able to do. So please, please, please go to iTunes, give us a rating. If you give us a 5-star rating and a review, we'll mention you on the podcast. And what's better than a mention on the podcast?
Right? It's because we love the reviews so much. It warms our little hearts. We have to give back.
Absolutely. And speaking of the future and doing more podcasts in the future, what we're going to do next week is we're going to talk about an alien race that has been tackled the most in Star Trek across all the series and even movies. And it's a big race to tackle, and you guys already know what I'm talking about, but Char and I are going to battle the Borg.
We ready?
I think we are. And until then, this has been To The Journey!
To the Journey!